Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I am Judy Davis, and I'm here with my co-host, Sandy Fowler. And today, oh, I am so excited about this topic because we are talking about discipline and problem solving. As parents, traditionally, discipline is something we use to make sure that our kids behave and do the right thing. And punishment is different for a lot of families. It takes on all kinds of forms. And over the years, spanking used to be it, and then it was timeouts, and then it was losing privileges. And within that stream of whatever technique you use, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And even when it does work, as parents, it's hard to feel good about that whole punishment thing.
Oh my gosh, Judy, that is so true. And the irony of it is, you know, when we look at it, all we really want is to raise great kids. But obviously, you know, things happen, they do stuff, problems come up along the way. So then it seems like what we really want to do is we need to solve problems, not punish our kids. And that's what today's guest helps parents to see. She is Cindy Kaplan, and she is a parent and family coach. She has a private practice in Newton, Massachusetts, where she gives workshops, she runs groups, she speaks on a variety of topics, including self-care, parenting well in the digital world, conscious parenting, and collaborative problem solving. And Cindy helps parents to find their true self in parenting, which I love because that will let us feel good coming out of this. And she also teaches us valuable tools and skills throughout that process. And today she's going to help us find our way through this whole matrix, this maze of punishment and discipline and problem solving. So Cindy, welcome to Mighty Parenting.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Yeah, you know, Cindy, I was just saying this and Judy was saying it. Okay, so we're raising kids. They're going to do things wrong. They're going to make bad choices. And our job as parents is to do something about that. But it's really a difficult area for a lot of families. And oftentimes as parents, we struggle with this. How do we fix this? How do we get our kid to do things differently? And we also get caught in, oh, what's the parenting approach of the moment? You know, we get caught up in that tide. So where I think I'd like to start is if you could talk to us a little bit about the difference in what these words of punishment and discipline actually mean.
Yeah, great. I'll go there in one second. I just want to say one thing that you said in the introduction about how when we do punish our kids, we as parents often feel really badly. And the other thing you brought up is that things do happen, right? That's just part of parenting, part of being a kid, and part of life. So in terms of punishment and discipline, punishment, I like to think of as adult revenge.
Ooh.
And discipline is sometimes what is sort of a cover-up or a kinder way of saying punishment. So when we say discipline, what many parents are often referring to is punishment, but we don't use the word punishment as much. If we really look at the word discipline, it comes from the word disciple, meaning to teach. So when our kids do something that we deem as, you know, undesirable behavior, I think what you also mentioned in the place where we get stuck as parents is that we think it's our job to fix it. And if we take the word fixing it, or if we take the two words fixing it and take that out of the equation, then really what our jobs are as parents is to teach. And so if we're approaching something that has happened with our kids, they've made a choice that was not a great choice, or they've really stumbled and made a really big mistake, that if we as parents can think about how do we teach them, how do we guide them out of, help them and guide them out of what has just happened versus how do we fix it? I know for me, if I start thinking of how to fix it, my heart just automatically begins racing. or when I think, all right, how can this be a learning moment? What might we be able to do to prevent this happening in the future? Then you've automatically set up a place for two people to work together, meaning parent and child.
Well, it's really interesting. And go to this punishment place for a minute. And it's like, does punishment even truly do what we want it to do? I get that sometimes it's going to deter behavior or whatever, but I know one of the traps that parents get caught in is the kids will be like, well, if I do it, what happens? Because now they're going to just be weighing, well, is this thing I want to do more important to me than dealing with the punishment? Mm-hmm. And so we're not doing that teaching. We're not fixing it. We're not helping our kids become the people we want them to be. They're just making a choice between the thing they want to do and the undesirable consequence and going, oh, is it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so I have to step back here because my brain just exploded when you said that whole consequence thing. And we've talked in other shows about the importance of letting our kids have natural consequences of the choices they make. And as people, we often parent based on our own experiences with our parents. You know, they were our models that we learned skills and things from. And we always try, I believe, people do the best they can in the moment and try and do a better job than their parents did. And everything that you're talking about is saying, you know, punishment is like a revenge, and I see that. But how can we provide those natural consequences in a better way?
Yeah, great question. So, and let me also say that, you know, a punishment can work. It's usually very short-lived, right? We can get a behavior to stop by sending a kid to a room or putting them in a timeout or sending them away. For many kids, that will get the behavior to stop. And what will happen is either, for some kids, that just makes them angrier and they'll find another way to do what they just did. They'll just get more clever about it so that we don't know. And for other kids, what happens with punishment, and I think this is very keyed into why we as parents feel badly when we punish, is that we feel badly. And I know that every parent is coming with the best of intentions, right? We use what we know. But what it does do is deliver a huge dollop of shame. And that isn't helpful. So now I'm forgetting the question that you just asked. How do we deliver consequences?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? So yes. If we're really looking at, I see a distinction between natural consequences and logical consequences. If we're trying to think of a natural consequence, usually we need to stop ourselves because the natural consequence is what happens without us imposing anything, right? The natural consequence of somebody not studying for an exam is that they're going to do poorly. And take it one step further, they do really poorly in school. The natural consequence is that their choices of colleges may be limited. The natural consequence of not showing up for a job is that they get fired. The natural consequence for younger kids is, you know, that it's cold outside. They refuse to wear a jacket. The natural consequence is that they're cold. So we as parents, often we skip over the natural consequence. A logical consequence maybe if you've given your teenager or your tween a phone to use and you've set up some guidelines and they're not using them appropriately, or you see that it's really getting in the way of them doing their homework or of socializing or anything else, then you may say, you know what, I see that this phone is really getting in your way. I'm going to take it from you. Those fall more in the line of a logical consequence. Your kid has a driver's license, they do something reckless, they're caught driving drunk, they lose the privilege of driving a car. But for many things that happen, usually if we're trying to come up with a consequence, it's usually because we are missing the natural consequence.
And when you talked about the natural consequences of certain things, what struck me is, I think a place that it's easy for us as parents to get in our own way is when those consequences affect us or our dreams for our kids. So for
example, time.
Yeah, you said, so they don't study, they don't get good grades, they don't have a selection of colleges. Parents, that's a hard one to swallow. Or the phone. Yep. taking away the phone because it's distracting them is a problem. But, you know, if the natural consequence of them of abusing a phone privilege is to not have the phone, then that affects us too, because Absolutely. That's how we communicate with our kids. How do I know what to do and all that? So I'm kind of curious, as parents, what are some tips, some advice you have for us about getting out of our own way around things that affect us? Because Judy, I was just talking to you about this in the last week, mm-hmm. how I would see things in my life, places where I would do something or allow something that I go, I really should be drawing a boundary here, but I don't want to deal with the fallout of what happens with that boundary because it affects me too.
Yes. So I think there's a couple of things, and this is a great, great question, and so true, is that so much of what our kids do, we think is a reflection on us. And what it often means is that we simply have to own what our own agenda is, right? So the homework or the getting bad grades is often us thinking about what will the teachers think of us, or what does that mean if my kid gets a bad grade, and what does that mean if my child doesn't go to the college that I'm hoping my child goes to, or doesn't even get into this range of college that I want for them, and how does that reflect upon me? Some of that I think is totally normal, and where we have to go is to simply recognize that and become aware of that and to slow down enough that we see, this is about me, not my kid. This is not who my kid is. In essence, you know, am I parenting the child I want to have versus the child I really have? And then if that's really true, then we simply own it. And if we can slow down enough to own that, oh, this is me fearing that my kid isn't going to get into college, or this is me fearing that my kid is never going to be responsible or never be able to hold a job. And if we can slow down enough to simply own it, that is one way that we can get out of the way. Because then it allows us to really see what's going on for our child and how do I support them? What's getting in the way of my child getting better grades? Then we get to move to a place of curiosity. So we move from a place of fear to a place of curiosity. And when we get curious, oh my gosh, when we can step into a place of curiosity, amazing things can happen.
So I have a question. I don't know if it's a point of clarification, because when you step into that place, you know, it's about talking things through and talking it out. And I have seen so many times that parents that are talking it out with their teen, as opposed to setting a boundary and following it up with what prior to this interview I would have called discipline. Mm-hmm. I see this talking it out strategy really being more wishy-washy and not actually helping anyone. And it's like the child just has this freedom wildness that is, while great, it's not helping anything. So I'm a little curious about that whole, you know, you said talking it out is important and, you know, discipline is really just like punishment. And I'm finding it hard to distinguish between the two.
Yes. Thank you for that. So one, I see discipline not as the same as punishment, but I think we often use that word when what we're really meaning is punishment. Discipline should be viewed as education. So I think talking it out can be great depending on how it's talked out. And boundaries are necessary. Boundaries are hugely necessary. When we have boundaries on a limited number of things, it becomes much clearer to set them. And in order to set clear boundaries, we have to be really clear on why we're setting that boundary. And we have to become really skilled at being neutral when setting a boundary. So the wishy-washy piece often comes in when we're not really clear on the boundary. And this often comes up with screen time use. Right, where a parent might be sort of thrilled that they're having some peace and quiet when their kid is on the iPad or on the computer, and even though they may have set a limit saying, you know, you've got 30 minutes or 1 hour, and then they tell their kid it's time to turn off the screen and the kid doesn't, and then the parent sees that the hour is, you know, it's approaching that 1 hour and they're really immersed in their quiet time and they want to get something done. And then they can't get their kid off the screen. And then there's a lot of anger and fury. And that often comes from the parent not being clear about setting the boundary.
Mm-hmm. So talking it out is really just this, it's not really negotiating. It's really speaking from a place of understanding your motives and then making sure your child understands the boundaries and what the expectations are.
Yes. And I would say the talking it out is really problem solving. I would say the goal is to move from punishments to problem solving, not just talking it out, because talking it out doesn't seem to have a place to go.
Right.
Right? You could just end up talking it out. But when a parent becomes really clear on what their concern is, and when we get curious to find out what is getting in the way of our kids being able to do what we are expecting them to do, then we can engage in problem solving with them.
I like that question. What's getting in the way of our kids doing what we want them to do?
Yes. And that comes from a basic assumption that all kids want to do well and all kids want to be successful. And when they're not, something's getting in their way. And it either comes down to skills that they don't yet, that they haven't yet mastered, or a need that's not being met.
Or parental expectations. You know, you mentioned this, we're parenting the child we want to have instead of the child we have.
Yes.
And we talk a lot in Mighty Parenting about parents and how we interfere with our kids' healthy growth and their lives. And I can absolutely see where parents creating expectations about what college they should go to or what career they should have or where they should be living or how they spend their free time or any of that would actually be the problem.
Yes.
I love the fact that you're giving us this alternative to punishment and discipline. And I'd love to kind of give a little context to the listeners of what happens to our kids when we do punish, because sometimes we need to, before we can act, we need to understand what happens, you know, what is the emotional impact that punishment has on our kids that makes it not the best way to parent them?
I think what it does is it, as I said earlier, they just feel, they feel badly. And they can be angry, and it doesn't, bottom line is it doesn't teach them anything. So it's like picking weeds from a garden, right? We can chop off the weeds. We can stop the behavior. We can make our kids feel really badly, but feeling badly doesn't necessarily help one do something differently the next time. And if we don't get to the roots of the weeds, that behavior is going to come back.
You said that the thing stopping our kids from doing what we want them to do comes down to pretty much not having the skills to do it or need not being met. And if they don't have the skill level or the necessary skills to do something, and then we punish them for it on top of it, I think that would just be putting myself in that place emotionally. That would just be awful.
Absolutely. Exactly. So it's not doing much for our kids' self-esteem, not doing much for our kids' confidence, where when we step back and think, all right, I'm going to assume that my kid really wants to do well. So what is getting in the way of them being able to do what I'm asking them to do?
So in that same vein, you know, we talked kind of what does that do to them emotionally? What does it do to our relationship with our teens?
It can sever the relationship. It does nothing to form connection. And for kids, you know, it's so interesting because what I continually see is I think that is that kids want nothing more than connection. Bottom line, that's, and I think it's no different from adults either. We all want connection, but our kids want connection, and they want connection with us, their parents. And if they don't have that, and every time we punish, we're severing the connection. And if they don't have connection with us, the parents, as they grow up, they will seek to find that connection elsewhere, right? Whether it be with unhealthy peer groups, whether it's through drugs, whether it's through other things, they will find the place where they feel accepted for who they are. And we as parents can still, if we truly accept our kids for who they are, we can still set boundaries. We can still have limits and have really firm no's, as long as we are willing to hear and as long as we can expect and accept pushback. And just because a child pushes back, it doesn't mean that we are then going to say, okay, never mind, you don't have to have a curfew. Or never mind, okay, you're right, fine. If you're going to give me pushback, then I'll, you know, if I can't handle the pushback, then I'm just going to let my kids play video games whenever they want because I can't handle the pushback. Or if I tell you, you need to be home at 10:30 tonight and you give me pushback and therefore I'm like, okay, well, never mind. Then just come home whenever. Then it's really hard to set the boundaries.
So I just want to get through, I want to get this a little bit concrete. I want to go through maybe a few examples. And one thought that I had was, you're talking about this pushback. And I think, again, parents, we can get caught up in, nope, I need boundaries. I need firm boundaries. So if I say you got to be back at 10:30 and then you push back, from what you're telling me, it sounds like the reasonable thing to do is listen to their pushback. If they have good reason for wanting to be home at a different time, then changing our mind is okay. That's not being wishy-washy. That's listening to them and living in that place of being curious and problem solving, of going, well, why are they pushing back? Okay, well, this is reasonable. I told them to be home at 10:30 and the show doesn't actually get done till 11, type of a thing. Is that correct? That, you know, just that working through something that's logical makes sense. But if the pushback is just, well, everybody stays out later and you, that's your boundary is 10:30. And you say, I understand that. And I understand that that's frustrating to you. And our time is still 10:30.
Yeah. So both of those.
Okay.
Right. So when we get curious and we're willing to listen to the pushback and just hold, so the other piece of this is that if we're really clear on why is it that we want our kid home at 10:30, is it that, you know, we need to be in bed at 10:45 and I want to know that they're home before I go to sleep and I can't stay up past 10:45. That can be reason enough as long as we're clear. Right. But if we can be that person to hear them say, it feels so unfair because all of my friends get to stay out until 11. Then we can say, I get it. I hear you. I get it. And I still need you home at 10:30. And I totally get that it's not fair. And I get that you're angry at me. And we can talk about this for next time. But tonight, I need you home at 10:30.
Or that can lead us to that problem solving place. Because the example you brought up was actually a huge issue in my home when my daughter got her driver's license and her friends had their driver's licenses. And I go to sleep early and wake up really early. Mm-hmm. And they want to be, and they're not even out. They just want to be, you know, at their friend's house. And so we came up with a system that would allow me to go to sleep, but also know she was getting home safely. We just, you know, she's at a friend's house and this is a small group of friends who I know, I trust. I'm like, okay, you give them my phone number when you leave their house. If they don't get a text from you within 15 minutes saying that you are home, then they have to call me on my phone because that will wake me up and then I'll know I need to do something. Mm-hmm. But had I not gone to that place of curiosity and, you know, why do you want to be out later and going through what's the problem that needs to be solved, if I just said, no, you have to be home at 10 without any thought as to why I'm making that rule or discussion about it, that could have turned into a huge tug of war, which would still be going on years later.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and the thing about getting curious or just listening is that it opens up to all these creative ideas, right? And there could be a number of ideas like the beautiful one that you thought of that we can't get to if we're stuck in this mindset of here's a limit, you do it because I say so. Because if we stay there, there's nowhere to go to problem solve or get curious. And when we can listen to them, again, doesn't mean that we have to change their, doesn't mean that we have to change our boundary or our limit. But if we listen to them and if they feel understood, even if they don't like what we're telling them they have to do, they're much more willing to cooperate. And right. Then when we can hear them, we can go to that place. All of a sudden, creativity enters the equation.
And I think it helps build that foundation of having our kids as they grow up, they need to know that we are seeing them differently than how they were when they were 12 and 13. And I think just by letting them have input into their life within our the context and rules of our family, I think that makes them know that we're seeing them in a different light, that we're appreciating who they are becoming, which just builds their confidence. I think it becomes this domino effect.
Absolutely. And then, you know, if something happens and say they can't get home on time, if they feel that they've got a connection with you, they're likely going to reach out. If right. there is something that is tempting them to stay out past 10:30 and they know if they don't get home by 10:30, they're going to be in trouble, it's much more likely they're going to find some sneaky way to get back without you knowing, because they have fear instilled in them from you. Where when we can be clear and can express to them our concern, it makes sense to them.
Mm-hmm. And then they hear us. They don't tune us out.
Both ways.
So often.
Yes. And oftentimes when parents will say to me, I just want them to respect me, why don't they respect me? It has to start from us, the parents. So mm-hmm. when we can show them that we respect them, we're going to get that respect back in return.
And that builds that connection that Absolutely. You talked about. That's the beginning of it. You know, as Judy said, them knowing that we're seeing them differently, that we are listening, also that's going to come to that connection place. And we feel better.
Yes.
Because they're listening to us too.
Absolutely. And they step up. I think they step up.
They absolutely do. And when they do mess up and they do make mistakes and they forget to do something, which they will do, we can have their back. And again, stepping out of the, I can't believe you didn't do this, you're not responsible, blah, 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 you blew this. If we can step out of that and help them figure out what they need to do to rectify it, to repair it, it's so different than us saying, you need to do this and you need to do this, and just deliver shame upon them.
So it's, again, that conversation piece of going, all right, so you're in this situation. What are your options? What can you do about this?
Yes.
And let them be the leader in that process.
Yes. So I can throw out an example. My eldest was asked to take care of a neighbor's cats a few years ago. And he said yes, and they spoke, and he was supposed to go over, or was supposed to call them, I think, to go over to learn about, you know, where the cat's litter box was and the food. And he completely forgot to go over there to learn about the cat stuff. The family had not left town yet. So I got a text from the mom saying, hey, you know, I reached out to your son. He never showed up. So that morning when he came upstairs, I looked at him and I said, hey, I said, were you supposed to go over to the neighbors for the cats? And he said, oh my gosh, I totally forgot. And that was a choice point for me, because I could have said, how can you do this? You were supposed to do this. This was so irresponsible. Instead, I could see that he was already feeling badly. So there was no point in me delivering any shame on top of that. So what I said is, do you have her number? Do you want me to send you her number? And he said, no, I got it. And that was all that was needing to be said. And then he went ahead and he took care of the situation.
And that was the natural consequence. Whatever happened had nothing to do with you. You didn't need to be involved in it. Just whatever happened between him and that person.
Yep.
That is the natural consequence of it.
Absolutely.
If we impose something on top of it, that's what you were talking about, is a logical consequence.
Yes. Or if I had imposed just more guilt and shame, what I would have done is made a little tear in our connection.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Versus, yeah, you kind of messed up here. What do you need? And is there anything I can do to support you in terms of you taking care of this?
Okay. Well, this is brilliant. But I want to just go back and recap some of our core ideas before we wrap up here.
Sure.
So, Cindy, you have taught us that there's a better way than working with punishment and discipline. And also to remember that although we use the word discipline to mean punishment, which you called adult revenge, which was very interesting. But discipline actually means to teach. And that's the place we need to go to as parents. We need to remember that it's our job to teach. It is not our job to fix it. Yes. And we can switch from looking at how can I fix this, asking ourselves this question, how can I fix this, versus how can I turn this into a teaching moment? And that helps us move and helps our child move from a place of fear to a place of curiosity. And being in that place, we can start talking about things, we can work on problem solving with them, and we can move from punishment to problem solving. And in doing that, that also helps to build our relationship, because the punishment will tend to harm our relationship and can even sever it, whereas the problem solving actually builds connection, which is something that kids do crave to have with their parents. That doesn't mean we don't set boundaries or we don't hold them to them. We just need to be very, very clear on what our boundaries are, why we're setting them, and then be ready and willing to listen and hear our kids and handle the pushback. Because when our kids feel heard and understood, even if they don't agree, they're going to be more cooperative and we're going to build that connection piece. So this was really a very interesting conversation. And for people who want more from you, Cindy, where can they find you?
They can find me at on my website, which is cindykcoaching.com.
If you liked what you heard today, please be sure to like, subscribe, comment, and share. If it's your first time listening, we want to welcome you here to Mighty Parenting, where we are a community that supports one another as we raise our teens and parent young adults. Until next week, I'm Sandy Fowler, here with my co-host, Judy Davis, and we encourage you to join us on the journey to becoming a Mighty Parent.